I'm Chris Allen, sitting in the chair right now for Rob Rawls as we welcome two guests who are no strangers to the Four Corners, Dave Alvin and Jimmy Dale Gilmore, here to play a sold-out performance tonight at the Henry Strader Theater, and they've joined us for a KSUT session. Welcome, Dave and Jimmy Dale.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us here, Chris. It's
great to be back.
Pleasure.
We'd love to have you guys start us out with a song.
Jimmy?
All right.
Unmistakable words, music, and voice of Jimmy Dale Gilmore. Thank you. How did the two of you hook up, Dave Alvin and Jimmy Dale Gilmore, for this tour, or I guess a series of tours you've been doing?
We met at the airport in Albuquerque yesterday.
Been in the van ever since.
Yeah. No, we've known each other for like 30 years, and this is sort of like that storm coming into you guys tomorrow. It just sort of happened.
We've been really good friends, but we never really did any collaboration of any sort until early this year, and it was like a experiment. I think it was Dave's idea that we try this out, and it was just so much fun. Just you know, just the two of us. We'd take the stage with the two acoustic guitars and trade songs, and it's pretty amazing. It's really, really, really fun. I was telling Dave yesterday, one of our first gigs was in Houston in a new venue there, very, very nice place. And later in the month, I played a gig there with Butch Hancock, not in the same venue, in a different venue. And several people in the second place I played said, well, we never heard of you before the show at the Heights with Dave, and so we came to hear you again. So I guess Dave has some fans that weren't aware of me that I guess approved of it. So.
Yeah, it's just kind of pretty free form, you know. We don't really that first song was our rehearsal for tonight's show.
Right.
Because we did like four gigs in Texas and two in Arizona and then to New Mexico, and then we, you know, went our separate ways and did various things, and yeah, here we are a month and a half or so later doing this, and it's just great, you know. I mean, forgive my guitar mistakes, but outside of that, it's just great. But it's very freeform in that, yeah, we don't really have a set plan of what everything's going to be, which I really like, you know. Because sometimes if you're doing just a regular old tour, it's like, okay, let's get through this.
Yeah.
You know, and, but
we
this
never
is
know
great.
What's going to happen next.
Yeah. This is just like, what's he going to play? Oh my God. You know, and, so I'm having a ball.
It's great because it seems like we are our styles are actually so different, our voices and everything, you know, but there's something that connects. We're both, we love each other's music. And I guess that kind of comes through on it, even though we've come from such totally different backgrounds.
Yeah, what's funny is we're both kind of, when it all comes down to it, we're both kind of like folk blues guitar finger pickers.
Yeah, that's
or wannabe finger pickers. And so what everything else that we do kind of revolves around that's the basic core. So then when you reduce it down to the basic core, it's like, oh, wow, you know that song too, you know.
Well, Dave reintroduced me to finger picking because he had these really great thumb picks. And I used to do when I was real early on when I was a solo performer before I ever did, the Flatlanders or the band stuff. I did a lot of finger picking, but I hadn't done it in such a long time. I always rely on the band to do all the picking
fancy
for
stuff.
Me, and I've rediscovered my finger picking capabilities because of this. What is this? It's a
Golden Gate.
Is it a Golden Gate thumb picks?
Highly recommend them.
Well, it's interesting you talk about coming from a different place musically, obviously, Jimmy Dale and that rich, rich soil of Lubbock, and Dave coming from that punk L.A. roots rock scene of the early 1980s. How have the two meshed together, I guess, on stage?
Well, I think you have to go back further, you know, like, you know, I think Jimmy and I both grew up kind of learning, you know. So that's what kind of off the cuff stuff you can expect.
We did not plan that. We discovered this belatedly that both of us had learned how to play to a lot of the same stuff. You know, when we were very young, and of course we didn't know each other then. It was just the time, you know, that the folk music stuff was happening.
Yeah, so whatever happened.
We had a lot in common
that we didn't know about.
Yeah,
that's where everything started. Everything that came later, you know, whatever scenes you were in or scenes you came out of or scenes you went through are kind of unimportant. It's all boils down to, you know. know.
We're both Bob Dylan fans. And we're both, we have a pretty – actually, we're still every night, you know, we discover more of what we have in common.
Well, it's interesting. I listened to one of your most recent projects, Jimmy Dale Gilmore, The Wronglers, which is a quote-unquote bluegrass project. But the story behind the name of the album, heirloom music, I think, is getting to the roots of what you're both talking about right now, that it's music that's passed down. It's vintage, but it's something else.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a there's so much music in the background. You know, lots of times musicians tend to be kind of more open to wide ranges of different stuff than just non-musicians tend a lot of times to focus on a pretty small area of to say, well, I really like this, the rest of it I don't want to.
Yeah.
But musicians in general aren't that constricted by it, and we the traditions of music, not just in terms of we need to preserve this. It's like where it all came from. It's like how people learned how to do music is something that both Dave and I are real interested in, and we're it's really inspiring to me right now to do this stuff, because it's kind of dredged up a bunch of old stuff that I'd sort of forgotten about that I still really love.
Dave, you have something for us here. I see you
looking
down at your guitar right there with a look of envy in your eyes.
No, I'm just thinking here. All right, well, you'd mentioned Big Bill Brunzi before we went on the air, so we'll do a Big Bill song, the key of E, Jimmy. And here it goes. I got a gal in Georgia, one in Mississippi too. I got a gal in Georgia, one in Mississippi too. Until I found out what you New Orleans girls could do. You said your mother was a Creole and an Indian was your dad. You said your mother was a Creole and an Indian was your dad. You know you gave me a feeling, something I never had. But then you changed. Change, yeah, baby, change, yeah, you change. You come up here to Chicago and you don't even walk the same. Now since you come to Chicago, you done change your name. Now since you come to Chicago, you done change your name. You change the way you talk, ain't nothing about you the same. Well, I didn't just know you in Chicago, baby, I knew you down in New Orleans. I didn't just know you in Chicago, I knew you down in New Orleans. And I knew you, baby, when you were eating rice and beans. But then you change, you change, yeah, baby, you change, yeah, you change. You come up here to Chicago and you don't even walk the same. Thank you. Yeah, baby, you change. You change. Yeah, you change. Yeah, you change. You come up here to Chicago and you don't even walk the same. 'Cause you change. Yeah, you change.
All right, I guess. It didn't slip.
They're beautiful.
Bad.
Might be fixed.
I think it is. I don't know. We had something really weird go. I've got a new guitar that I'm in love with, but when we were getting tuned up before the before the broadcast, all of a sudden my G string just went flat while I was playing it.
Like, and I started like this kind of go flat. Not a little like this.
And now it seems to have healed itself. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it was a visiting gremlin that decided to leave.
Well, we're joined here for a KSET session by Jimmy Dale Gilmore and Dave Alvin. Just heard one from one of Dave's more recent records, Common Ground. Dave and Phil Alvin play and sing the songs of Big Bill Brunsey. Dave, what was it like recording with your brother? It had been... I guess he played on one on 11-11, but yeah. Other than that, in the studio, it'd been about 30 years since you guys had gotten back together in the studio.
Well, we both, I hate to use the word, but I'll use it, matured, you know? And he also, you know, he had various health issues, and he was dead for about 20 minutes. It's a long story. And inside that period where my brother was dead or in a coma, I kind of like, I kind of said, we shouldn't have not made music for 30 years on some form or another. And then I kind of said, well, if he gets back into any kind of shape to sing and play again, then we're going to make some records. And then I just thought, well, let's start at square one for us. Because, you know, it's still a crystal clear memory for me is the day my brother brought home a Big Bill Brunsey album. And I was about 12, you know, and put it on, and that was that. Here I am, you know.
And you've done that throughout your career, whether it's an album like Ash Grove, talking about a place that was near and dear to your heart, or remember a particular song on one of your early records that you'd written about a cousin who used to cruise around in her car, and you were flipping 45s.
I'm living off my childhood.
Dave and I discovered this. I had the Ash Grove was in my background too, because I lived in L.A. back in the mid '60s for a short period. But the Ash Grove, I was at Ash Grove every time I could be, and it's oddly enough, it's where I got to know Lightnin' Hopkins. I didn't get to know him in Texas. I got to know him out in L.A. And Sunhouse. I got to be friends with Sunhouse before he died.
Yeah, Jimmy's a hell of a blues singer. It's a little known fact.
It's one I have a hunch we might see tonight for those of you who were lucky enough to pick up a ticket to the sold-out show at the Henry Strader Theater. Dave Alvin and Jimmy Dale Gilmore, two guitars, two stools, two mics, and more songs than we could fit in a week here in the KSET studio. You know, it's interesting. You've talked a little bit about Phil's recent health scares, and in the last few years we've lost quite a few musical legends and folks that both of you have either played with or looked up to, like Merle Haggard or Guy Clark, and even in the last couple of days, James Cotton and Chuck Berry.
Yeah,
amazing.
What is now, as you guys are becoming some of the elder statesmen of American roots music, what does this mean to your own personal sense of musical and personal mortality?
Well, that's an easy question. Nothing? How's that? No.
Well, you know, it's really, I have a real love for showing some of that old music to the younger people. I don't mean my versions of it. I mean, you know, the real stuff to a lot of the younger kids that aren't aware of that stuff. And I've noticed that they tend to love it just as much as we did when we were their age. You know, the old blues stuff particularly and the early rock and roll, it wears with age. And
it's kind of, yeah, it's in the cultural DNA. And there's always going to be a segment of people in the same way that, say, when Jimmy and I were young kids, not that we're not young now, but when we were young kids, there was a certain amount of people that only wanted to hear, One-Eyed, One-Horned, Flying Purple People Eater. Not that there's anything wrong with that song, but on the other hand, there was people like us that were like, what else is there? What else you got besides that? And so there's always going to be that element of there's always going to be people, young, old, in between, that are, what else you got, and searching for that other thing. And so as we gracefully coast into elder statesman status, not quite yet, but...
we're knocking on it pretty.
Yeah. I can see the house up on the corner, but you just do what you do. It doesn't look good, never looks good if you try to do, like, Miles Davis was maybe one of the few people that could go young, let's say, but you just do what you do, and if they find you, they find you. If they don't, they don't. But it looks better than, hey, kids, And so you just try to gracefully do what you do, if that answers your question.
I think it does. I think it does. Now, you guys share some unique experiences with the Four Corners region. I know one question I wanted to ask you in particular, Dave, was you and Phil toured much of the American West with your father back in the day. Some great stories I've heard through the years about those trips.
Yeah, our dad was a union organizer for the United States Steelworkers of America, which out here meant, copper miners, coal miners, certain steel mills. California had a ton of steel mills back in those days, but there were steel mills in the Southwest, and so, yeah, we would spend our summers around here. We lived in, Flagstaff for a while. We lived in Vail, Colorado, before there was a Vail, Colorado. Vail, Colorado was I'm aging myself very much right here, but it was a ski lift and a motel. That was Vail, Colorado, and a two-lane highway that my brother and I played in the two-lane highway as kids. And so I drive through Vail now, and I'm just like, oh, God. Either this happened really quick or I'm really old. But, we used to go to, all the little mining towns in the Rocky Mountains, Red Cliff and Minturn and, Leadville and all those places. From Wyoming down to, from Wyoming to Juarez, basically, So that gave me, both my brother and I, this sort of view into the other side, because that was our old man would always say, there's at least two sides of the goddamn story, and he was right, And so we're, other kids in our school maybe didn't have that blessing of those visions. We did, so that kind of sent us later on, not a few years later, looking for, Big Joe Turner or Lightnin' Hopkins, looking for that other side of the story.
And Jimmy Dale, you spent a lot of time in Denver.
Yeah, I lived in Denver for most of the 70s, and spent a lot of time in in Boulder and Denver, and I had friends in Aspen, and I came very close to staying in Colorado. I moved back to Austin after I'd been in Colorado, back to Austin where I had been earlier. In 1980, and it was just a hair's breadth of deciding whether to move to Austin or go to Boulder, because I loved it, and I loved the whole area. I loved the whole all of it so much, and we played some music around. I wasn't playing professionally at that time, but I was involved in a spiritual group, there were a lot of musicians in the group, and a lot of really good musicians. And I knew some great musicians from like I said, from Aspen. And Basalt, I spent some time over in Basalt. And we played in various little dives and honky-tonks, you know. I still have a deep love for I still have that, when I come back here, I have that kind of pull, that kind of yearning here of like, wow, I wish I could live both here and in Austin.
Well, you guys have one more tune for us this afternoon?
Why don't you do
Well, let's see. What do you think?
Excuse us.
We didn't make a plan.
We have no idea what we're doing.
You feel like doing
just talk to people about something. Tell them about that bad weather that's rolling
in. We'll tell you that tonight only, one night, Jimmy Dale Gilmore, Dave Alvin, two stools, two guitars, two mics.
We got it.
One place. It's sold out, but it's happening at 7:30 at the Henry Strader Theater.
Okay, we've got one that we started doing on the little tour that everybody really likes a lot, and it seems to be quite appropriate for these days. But, love is but a song we sing, fear's the way we die. You can make the mountains ring or make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing, you may not know why. Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody, get together, try to love one another right now. Some may come and some may go, we will surely pass. When the one who left us, yes, returns for us at last, we are but a moment's sunlight fading in grass. Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody, get together, try to love one another right now. If you hear the song I sing, you will understand. You hold the key to love and fear, all in your trembling hand. Just one key unlocks them both, it's there at your command. Try to love one another right now. Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody. Try to love one another right now. Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody. Try to love one another right now. right now, right now.
Dave Alvin, Jimmy Dale Gilmore, a KSUT session, and they'll be coming to you this evening, 7:30 at the Henry Strader Theater. Gentlemen, thank you again for dropping by our studios and sharing your songs.
Thank you.